my sermonette is really very closely related to what Brother James was sharing. When I thought about this moment and what the topic would be, I thought, okay, Mark is sharing about missions. There was no doubt in our minds that you are missionaries. I want you to know that. And so I was drawn to Luke chapter 15. And you all, I'm sure, know the passage. It's three parables that Jesus gives: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. And the lost sheep and the lost coin really point out the value of a soul, how much Jesus cares, how much he will do for one person, for one soul. And that's what missions are all about. That's what we are all about, because we are all called to be missionaries. And then I read and read and read and read the story of the prodigal son. And I found myself thinking, I've been the older brother quite a bit. I'm wondering if you have too. You're going along in life. Chris and I just came back from a mission trip in Kiev, and we were treated as not celebrities, but special people, people who had something to say. We were thanked graciously. We received little tokens, and it was nice. We came home. I sent emails to all the kids, to the parents, to the pastors we connected to. And once in a while, my messenger will go bing or whatever it does, and then I get another thank you. And so I think, oh, mission work is so rewarding because people say thank you. But these people are far away. And we dropped seeds into their lives, and now other people are watering them and growing them. But in our daily life, Chris and I have always been engaged in doing other kind of missionary work. And when it is family, it is not always so rewarding. And you work and you labor, and you do it for years, and you do it for more years, and then some more years. We've been married 41 years almost, and from the time we were dating, we were placed in a responsible position to look after extended family, and we've done it. But we don't often get the little messenger thing that says, thank you, Chris and Chris, you're so sweet, you're so wonderful, we don't know what we'd do without you. Instead, sometimes I found my head on the pillow thinking, I don't know if I want to do this anymore. I don't know if I can do this anymore. Why don't people change? They call me and I tell them the answer, and then they don't do it. And then I know a couple of weeks later, we'll get the call and we're back to square one. So I looked at this parable and I thought, why is it tugging at my heart so much? And then the scriptures came to me about God's table and feasting. And I thought, how many times is a feast mentioned in a Bible and a table? And I don't have my PowerPoint on. Do you guys have the possibility to do that for me? Okay, well, I'll turn it on. Okay, well then let's not. But imagine an empty seat. So here the younger brother comes home, and where is the older brother? Well, he's working. He's working in the field. And the father, I really thought about the father. He's standing and he's watching for the younger son to come home. But he also knows that the older son is in the field working. The father knew exactly where both of his boys were, and he cared. And I thought, in our hard work, we might not be wandering away in rebellion. We might be just busy working and not even looking at the father. The father wants us to know it's about relationship. And if we know that, when we're so secure that the Father knows exactly what we're doing, that everything The word says, the father said to him, everything I have is yours. I'm always with you. And that brought me such comfort, and I wondered if there was someone here that would bring comfort too. When you're working so hard, when you're working with family or close friends, those that you've let into your life, and you don't get a thank, and you don't see any change, and then you see a party happening, grace extended. How do we change? How do we change our minds and our hearts? And I thought, well, number one is stay close to the Father. Do you know that the Father went and got his son? That would have been the servant's job, but no. The Father entreated him to come. He knew exactly where the son was. And so in a moment of time, a couple of weeks ago, when Chris and I were so tired, we said to each other, you know what? This scripture says, everything I have is yours. So then we asked him for some things to strengthen us and to change our hearts. We started with our heart attitude. And we said, Lord, forgive us. Help us to see grace extended. This party wasn't a reward for the son coming home. It was a celebration because he was dead and now he was alive. I think the older son maybe thought, you never gave me these things as a reward, but those things weren't the reward for good work. They were a reward for coming to the Father and saying, forgive me, you're my Father, I want to be with you. If we understand that, then we can rejoice with people who get rewards at the table. And then I thought, I wonder, when the servants were setting the table, they knew a place was empty. There was an empty seat. People are watching us. They see the empty seats at our tables. Brother James was saying that it is so important that we don't fight, that we rejoice with one another. It's important to have our tables filled. By this, you know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. So I would encourage us to fill the seat at the table. We have to ask the Lord to clean us. And I thought, could we? How would the story have looked if the older brother had said to his dad, Dad, why don't I take the night shift tonight? Why don't I stand at the door and watch? Because then your eyes are not off all that you're doing, but you're looking with faith, seeing if someone is going to come to the door, if someone is walking around. Wouldn't it be great if we could do that? And wouldn't it be great if we would not exclude ourselves from the table? If we would come into the Father's presence and say, okay, I'm coming. I'm going to see this as grace extended, because that's what it is. And the people around us are watching. You know, Facebook is such a great thing, and Facebook is such a horrible thing. We think of nothing of annihilating each other with words, with theology, with those kind of things, and I think we don't even realize sometimes we leave empty seats at the table. But we don't want to do that. I had a marvelous picture, the very end slide, as people sitting together at a table with joy-filled hearts. And that's what Jesus wants. That's what God wants for us, to be at the table together. Because the table isn't rewarding us for good deeds. Our reward is in heaven. And one day we will receive rewards, but right now it is about seeking the lost, looking in faith for those prodigals to come home, or those that have hurt us. I'll close with this. This week, someone came into the church on a Thursday, and this person was hurting. She was crying. She came to Eve, our secretary, and said, oh, I'm grieving. And she was so distraught, we believed it. She wanted to know, is there a counselor available? And we also had the fire marshals come, and everything was being inspected. It was almost chaos here. And then a friend came into my office. I was talking with her, and this girl wandered in and out a couple of times. In my brain, I thought, you know what? I haven't even had a chance to pray with her. That's terrible. someone's coming into the church hurt, and I'm so busy with stuff, I can't even help this person. So when everything was quiet a little bit, there she was again, crying. And I said, could I help you? Invited her into the office. I think I spent 10, 15 minutes just talking about her, what her issue was, gave her a very gentle synopsis of faith. I think that's all she would have been able to receive. And then I asked if I could pray with her, and I closed my eyes. And 10 minutes later, I realized when she was gone, so was my cell phone, so was my credit cards, which were all included. But you know what? I wasn't angry because she was, it really surprised me. I prayed for her because I thought this girl was really hurting. And then I thought about the sermon. I thought, what if someone now said to me, Chris, do we charge her or do we let her go? And in my heart, I would have said, oh, let her go. But I didn't have that same feeling about the other stuff, the other people I had like close to me, the brother, the sister. That was much harder in my heart. And I thought, I wonder if it's like that for a lot of us. If that's the harder thing to do, I would have had no trouble inviting her to the table, sitting with her at the table. But in my own heart, Chris and I, he prayed for me that the other thing was so much harder to do. So I would like to encourage us to search our hearts and know, first of all, how much God loves you. Everything you need is He is yours. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. If you're busy working, He knows exactly where you are. He knows where the people that maybe we consider work are. Could we look in hope to set the table? Could we do that together for one another? Could we be Facebook changers? Wouldn't that be great if by our love, people would know we're Christians? Let's pray.